everybody. Welcome back to Popcorn for Dinner. This is Jeff.
And Kelly.
Big, huge, giant family movies month comes to a close with the most recent movie on our list, our most heralded movie on the list, most likely. And easily, I could say this right off the bat, the most enjoyable of the month.
Yes.
To me. I will not give too much shade to My Big Fat Greek Wedding, but like this just hits at a different spot, you know what I mean? Like,
it's kind of not fair though.
Yeah, there's a lot working against it. This is a pretty darn good movie. But we might as well just jump right into it so that we can just straight up start talking about the 2021 American animated musical fantasy film Encanto. Oh, Encanto. This was a surprise to me.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about this movie. I knew it came out. I knew that people liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that Lin-Manuel Miranda was like the guy, because of course he's the guy now. He's just the guy you get for these things.
He's on a roll.
he's pretty much on like Disney payroll at this point, it seems like. But like, I knew of it. But I didn't know like anything that went on in the movie. Like, I didn't know who the characters were. I didn't know when it was set. I didn't know anything like actually about what the movie was.
Yeah.
So the only thing that I was aware of before seeing this movie was we don't talk about Bruno. There's no talking about Bruno. Whatever the title was, that song. I didn't hear the song, but I had heard that it was like it charted. People loved it. It was one of those sorts of songs. Cool.
I was vaguely familiar with We Don't Talk About Bruno. I hadn't heard it, but like that was a thing from this movie.
Speaking of what the movie is about, you know, like saying that it's not like action driven, that there's not some like huge plot uncovered, is like, okay, so it's a more basic story. Like, yes. However, IMDb makes it even further it doesn't even reveal
it simplifies
the half
it.
Of it. Yeah, it's like this sounds like the most boring movie of the world. Like, what is this? There's nothing here. It's not a movie. But they say, a Colombian teenage girl has to face the frustrations of being the only member of her family without magical powers. That's it. That's where it ends.
What?
Doesn't say anything about the magic being threatened.
Yeah.
Or the family breaking apart. Or
any the miracle of that sort of burning out.
Yeah, exactly. Like this big, huge thing that's going on in the background. It's just like, yeah, she's just frustrated.
Yeah.
She's just real frustrated.
Teenagers, am I right?
That's actually really funny to me because I don't know if it's explicitly said, but I kept imagining that Mirabelle was like mid-20s. I did not think that she was a 15-year-old girl. I don't know what it was about it. I couldn't point anything out to you to be like, that really convinced me. But since they're just like this magical family that like lives in this magical place, like far away from everything else in an indeterminate time period.
Yeah.
You know, that you're like, well, fucking who's what? Who cares? Because like, it's not like they're going to school. It's not like, oh, you got to go to college and get a good job. So, you know, it's like, you just live here. You just do your magic shit and you live in the Encanto. You live in Casita, the living fucking house.
I love that the house has a name.
Yeah, I mean, the first note that I have about it, it's my first note in the movie, is just like, miracle candle that can never go out and also magically creates them a giant place to live that's alive? Like, everything seemed like, that adds up. That sounds like but for some reason, it being alive completely caught me by surprise. I was like, holy shit, he's fucking alive.
The miracle candle blesses the children with magic powers, so.
Right, it's more just that I was like, okay, yeah, you make a big giant house out of nothing. Cool. Oh, also though, it's alive. Like, it's already a magic house by simply existing. So it's like, it also though is alive. It dies later.
Yeah, that like, was rough.
It's kind of sad. But I will say that I fucking love Casita because it is the like greatest animation like concept that I've seen in a movie in so long. Like, the fun that they must have had
Yeah.
figuring out how they were going to be animating this stuff, like just like the tiles turning and moving things and the floorboards and all that junk, like everything. It was so cool.
Yeah.
I was really jazzed by basically everything that Casita did. It was amazing.
Yes. Casita is possibly my favorite character.
MVP. But I mean, Mirabelle, the lead character, I had no idea was Stephanie Beatriz. I had a feeling she was in the movie.
Yeah.
I thought maybe she was Isabella, just doing the like super cutesy voice, kind of like whatever. God, what's the character name on Bob's Burgers? Chloe Barbash.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking Chloe Barbash. I was thinking in Lego Movie 2.
Oh, right, right, right. But no, yeah, the like Chloe Barbash boy. I was like, okay, yeah, she totally could be this Isabella girl. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it never clicked that it was Mirabelle, but it's wonderful. She's great. Yeah. And I love, and I dig the character too. Like the whole vibe of this is super, I don't know. I don't know if it sounds insulting or not, but it's like, it's just so like hang out.
Yeah.
Like you're just like, oh yeah, I could just hang out in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like, everyone's pretty cool. You know, like there's a little bit of people kind of being a dick just for like drama's sake.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like Abuela's a little bit much.
Yeah. I did call her a pig headed fuck at one point in my notes.
Makes sense. Like, she was,
it's a little rough, but yeah, there were, it's just, oh God.
Antonio was adorable.
Antonio's pretty cool. Like, the dad and uncle, the non-magical guys were fun. Mm-hmm. I did not know that was Wilmer Valderrama. As a dad, that blew my mind. I was like, oh man, he wasn't just doing a Fez voice, so I couldn't tell.
Yeah, right. It's been so long since I've just heard him talk.
Yeah, heard him speak like a man. And then in terms of recognizable voice actors, I will tell you, I knew immediately that Bruno was Leguizamo. I knew it immediately. The first fucking line out of his mouth, I was like, you're kidding me, it's Leguizamo. Oh, I'm excited for this.
Wasn't his first line like, you're very sweaty or something like that?
It's possible. I don't know.
Yes, I don't fully remember. Is. I wrote it down. Because I was like, and of course, there's Bruno. And then my next note is, you're very sweaty.
He was great. I mean, like the story of the movie, the like magical family who create, like, their magic is created out of like horrible grief.
Mm-hmm.
They are granted a miracle essentially that saves the family from getting killed, like Alma's husband. Was it Pedro, right? I think his name was. Yeah, like he gets killed, and in her grief and whatever, this magical candle appears and it blesses them and it gives them.
She was carrying a candle.
Oh,
so the candle.
Oh, okay. It didn't just.
Like, the candle didn't appear. The magic just appeared within the candle.
The magic was like, whatever you got in your hands, I am going to infiltrate. Yes. So make sure it's something cool. Yeah, exactly.
This is going to be so sweet.
I don't want it to be like corn or something. That would suck.
Magic's going to run out in like a month.
Yeah, you can only eat so much corn. So they get this magic and they essentially like create and live in their own little self-contained universe of like, we are the like main family, the magic family that like provides for everyone else, and then there's all these other people who just like, what did they just show up? They're literally just like looking for a place to live, and then they're like, oh, these magic people are taking people in, let's go live in Magic Town.
They might, I mean, maybe they take in new people, but an original village was the people that were traveling with Abuelo and Abuela.
Okay, right. But I mean, it grows from that opening sequence. So it's like, I guess people just roll in and they're like, yeah, whatever, you can stay.
I mean, they show that magic. There's still a path to the river.
Right. It's the like, when is this taking place? Mm-hmm. You know, like they basically never leave the area or the surrounding area in the entire movie. Like there's the moment when she when Mirabelle says that, like, I have to save the miracle, and then immediately is like, wait, how do I save a miracle? What does that even mean? Like it sort of plays with that convention of like, she's gonna go on this big adventure and go find the, wait a minute, what, that doesn't make any sense. So then they don't go anywhere. They go, you know, sometimes it's because wasn't that big giant cliff thing like Bruno's room? Like you open the door and you go in and there's this whole fucking thing in there. So it's like she kind of goes on an adventure up a cliff.
Yeah.
But it's in Casita.
Yeah.
Somehow it's like, it is in Casita.
She goes to like the tropical rainforest, but also in casita in Antonio's room.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's the big grand floral room that's Isabella's.
Yeah.
And then she's stuck in the nursery.
Yeah, what a bummer. I mean, like you had mentioned before about that pig-headed fuck Alma. Again, it's like of course it's cruel because like the traumas and things like Mirabelle mentions right at the end, like, you have suffered so much in mm-hmm. ways that none of us can understand. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, but at least the movie is like, but you're still kind of being a pig-headed fuck here.
Yeah.
In a very Disney-like way, you know? It's like, we can understand what you've been through. Stop taking it out on your children and grandchildren and yeah. all that. That's really what it comes down to. I like the message. I like how the movie deals with all of this stuff, mm-hmm. where it's like, it's not... I mean, it is, but it's not about some evil force taking away their magic.
Yeah.
You know, like, in the end, I mean, is it even really explained why? Why it was leaving? Other than just like, everyone was kind of in disarray. It's like the belief that the magic was leaving was making the magic leave. Is that kind of the, the catch-22 of the scenario?
Kind of what it seemed like, to what I could understand, they never really explained why... Mirabelle never got a gift.
Yeah, I don't think they did. Like, everyone gets magic, but she doesn't.
Yeah.
For no reason other than, like, well, what to... I mean, it all seems so circuitous, like its own self-contained cycle of stuff. Like, nothing yeah. caused it to happen. It's just that it's like, okay, we decided that we're not going to give you magic. Like, why? Like, well, because much later on, the family is going to be fractured, and you will be the one to bring them together,
mm-hmm.
like, sort of through your lack of magic. Like, your magic is your ability to connect
yeah.
everyone together, sort of. So it's like, you didn't get magic, but you kind of did.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the only reason you need to use this kind of magic is because we denied you magic in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, that exacerbated the situation. So it's like, who... Okay, miracle giving whatever out there in this world. I don't know what you are, but like, what are you doing here? Like, why are you putting them through this? It didn't seem...
Yeah.
The whole thing seemed a little goofy to me.
The only other thing I can think of is that the damage to like Casita and the magic was because of the like tension in the family.
So it's Alma's fault.
Yes.
Again, we boil down to... Don't be like that.
Yeah, at least she admits it.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the good thing. I did write at that scene, though, but like when they're down by that river and she's like, oh, let me explain all the stuff. And I was like, all right, fine. Here's that moment in the movie
mm-hmm.
when someone who's been like a real unreasonable jerk sort of weasels out of it by being like, yeah, but look what I've been through. And it's like, oh, well... Okay, now I'm a jerk if I'm mad at you, so you're forgiven, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not, doesn't feel that great. I mean, what's her face? Mirabelle has a better attitude about it than I do. But. Yeah.
I will say, I did write, like, poor girl so many times
oh, yeah.
in this movie.
Oh, Sleuth, yeah.
And so many of the songs, like, while the songs are good, I don't think any of them really sucked.
Yeah, like, some of them were less fun than others.
Yeah.
Some were like, oh, this sounds like a musical song. And then others were like, whoa, where'd this come from?
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Like, Waiting on a Miracle, decent song. That's Mirabelle's song where she's, which, like, absolutely heartbreaking. Like, singing about, like, not being fine.
Right,
and, like,
right,
standing
right.
on the sidelines just waiting for her to, like, be able to do something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, heartbreaking for this girl. But then for Louisa to have the next song.
Dude, that was the best part of the movie. I don't understand how We Don't Talk About Bruno became a bigger hit than that song.
Yeah.
Surface Pressure is amazing. I went back and I listened to it again. I just like went and watched the scene on YouTube because I was like, that was a fucking, and I hate to use this term, banger.
Yeah.
It was a legit fucking banger. Yeah. Like, that's a great song. And it's like, fuck Lin-Manuel. What, like, that's sort of what made We Don't Talk About Bruno. We Need to Talk About Bruno. I never remember.
I think it's We Don't Talk About Bruno.
We'll never talk about Bruno.
No, Bruno talk.
Yeah, Cool it with the Bruno talk. That's what it's called, right? I was expecting, you know, since that was the song that everybody was all jazzed about, mm-hmm. and then Surface Pressure happened, and I was like, oh my God, this Bruno song must be the greatest song ever written.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if this is the one that people were like, yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. But this is a good one. Like, holy shit. Oh, man, I can't wait. And then I heard it, and I was like, oh, this was... I would have liked it a lot more if it hadn't been so hyped up as, like, the best fucking shit. Because it was like, I really liked it. I liked Surface Pressure better.
Yeah.
Like, kind of by a lot.
Same.
You know, and it's wild to me. But, oh, man. Those sort of made up for the fact that, like, I felt like Isabella's song was a bit more like classic musical song.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, fine. Her problem was less interesting to me than others. Like,
yeah.
The movie does a good enough job of, like, it, there's a lot of pressure in being the perfect one. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, okay. But still.
Yeah.
Like, you still were the one who got doted on as opposed to the one who got ignored and forgotten. Like, there's a difference. It's not like our pains are equal here. It's like, you can have your issues with how you're treated and done with, mm-hmm. but, like, don't try to act like like it's the worst fucking thing in the world. Like, Mirabelle is basically completely neglected. Like, no, once the fucking miracle doesn't come to her and Bruno runs off, mm-hmm. allegedly, and they're just like, well, this one failed anyway.
Yeah.
On to the next. Like, it doesn't seem like there was nearly enough of a, like, support system in place for her. Because it was like, well, it's the only time it ever happened. So it seemed like they just let it happen. And we're like, oh, well, fucking, I guess you're the worst kid. I don't know.
Yeah.
And let's just keep moving along. Hopefully the next kid will get one. Like, not at all thinking, like, maybe there's a problem. Maybe there's something we could have done or mm-hmm. we can do or whatever. It seemed like they were just pretty resigned to, like, nah, Mirabelle just sucks. Like, hopefully Antonio's cooler. I don't know. Well, no, because it would have been the chameleon kid, right? I can't remember their ages now. Because, like I said, I thought she was, like, 25.
No, chameleon kid was...
Was he older than her? No.
I don't know. Well, because they didn't say when her turn would have been in them getting their powers.
Well, they get them when they're 5. And if she's 15, then it was 10 years ago. So if that chameleon kid isn't older than her, he must be, right?
I don't know.
I mean, it just seems like if chameleon kid is like 13, then 2 years after Mirabelle failed to get her miracle, he would have turned 5, and then it would have been like, oh, but he got his, so I guess everything's cool now. Fucking, it was just her. She's the worst.
See, because they were making such a big deal about it needing to go right this time for Antonio. That I makes guess. Me think that the chameleon kid is older.
Yeah,
like maybe just like a couple months or a year.
Okay, I guess. Again, Mirabelle seemed like a mm-hmm. like a lady,
mm-hmm.
not a small girl. Also, just like the looks of a lot of these folks did not immediately give off the vibes that I was looking for. Like with Bruno, I was like, oh yeah, this dude looks like he's like what, like 30 something?
Yeah.
And then I was just reading about it where I was like, no, yeah, if he was one of the triplets
mm-hmm.
with her mom and her aunt and all that, and now she's this old and they did the math or whatever, it would be like, well, then all the triplets would be like 50 years old. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Bruno's fucking 50? He does not look 50. Like, even, yes, it's an animated movie, and
mm-hmm.
yes, he's like, he's been hiding in the walls or whatever, but like, it still just, it did not click to me that this was a 50-year-old man. Like,
lack of sunlight preserves the skin.
I was gonna say, I think it's like lack of like facial hair and junk. He seemed so young. I don't know. It's like, you're living in the walls. If he had like a graying beard, mm-hmm. then it would have been like, oh, this dude's 50.
Yeah, there wasn't enough gray in the hair on the top of his head. Like there were some, but like Mirabelle's mom had more.
Yeah.
And I mean, she the other sister was like almost full gray, right?
I don't recall. I think she had dark hair.
I just know that one of the babies was a redhead.
Yeah, that was her. The weather sister. Peppa, I believe it was.
Sure. There was too many. I couldn't keep track.
Peepaw? I don't know. No, yeah, there was a shitload of fucking people in it. I literally, it was because of like reading about it that I kind of like, oh, right. And then whatever. And this one was named this and mm-hmm. whatever.
Mm-hmm. Uncle's name. Not Teal.
Felix.
Yep, there you go.
It's Felix. I remember that.
Yep. Great.
It's Felix. It's Felix. he was, man, there was some like, I don't even know how to explain it. The animation was so good. Like the movements and the people and the stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like everything about it was so good to the point that it was fucking creepy in certain points.
Yeah.
Because the characters are still like animated movie mm-hmm. exaggerated. Mm-hmm. Like I saw somebody said that Felix is basically just a color swapped Maui.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Absolutely. Or it's just like he's got darker skin, but he's basically just the same thing as Maui, which is mm-hmm. like in an absurd human shape.
Yeah.
You know, like the body type of a Maui is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, yeah, that's weird looking, but with how like fluid and realistic the movements mm-hmm. of their like dancing and all that stuff was, it was like, oh, this is terrifying, because that should not be a man.
Yeah.
Like, that's a horrifying monster, but it moves like a man. It's like we are at that weird stage of animation where it's like, we maybe have to keep an eye on how we're, like, crafting our animated characters, because, like, certain exaggerations that maybe work in, like, 2D animation, where it's like, it's got a giant long fucking head and a big beaky nose. And it's like, oh, because you drew it, it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you're if it suddenly starts crossing those lines of, like, we're trying to make it photorealistic. Like, oh, that's
no
a nightmare.
Yeah.
That's not how any of this should be.
I've seen those AI-generated images. Yes, they are terrifying.
I vote against. Thank you. I did think it was... So obvious, and I mean, maybe that's the point, but I thought it was just so obvious that Bruno was not the bad guy that the movie was like making him out to be at the beginning of it. Like the whole song about it, you know, everything about it, that like, oh, he brings bad things, oh, that evil Bruno guy. And I was like, not a chance, no way.
Yeah,
this is going the other way 100%. He'll be back.
I mean, they did try and play into the he's the bad guy by giving him the classic Disney villain green.
Yeah, the green eyes. I was reading that that people pointed out Alma, Abuela, wearing black and purple, which is just like classic Disney villain colors. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, she's not evil.
Yeah.
She's not, you know, crafting spells and poisoning beauties and whatnot. But, like, she is causing bad things to happen to our lead character. So, like, yeah, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of the villain.
A little bit.
A little bit. I mean, I don't want to say not enough, because, like, really, truthfully, when it comes down to it, I think the movie does not need anything like that. Like, it's much more fun as just this, like, contained family story where it's like they figure their shit out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, At first I was a little annoyed by certain things, and then I realized, like, okay, this movie doesn't really exist in that kind of world, so I'm just gonna, like, let it go. Because, like, at first, Abuela is complaining about how, like, look, we need to make sure that our magic is good because we provide for the townspeople, so the kids getting their magic is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Mirabelle, get out of the way. And I was like, well, whose fucking fault is that, Family Madrigal?
Yeah.
You know, like, you're the ones who built this community and, like, sustained it via magic. So now everyone depends on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's not like the magic was given to you with the express purpose of, like, and build a village.
Yeah.
And use your powers to help them. So, like,
well, I mean, the magic built the village. The initial village.
I guess. But still, like, the like... You know, people could show up to the village and be like, oh, this is great. I love this magical village. Like, yeah, it's totally cool. You better make sure you pull your own weight, though,
because
mm-hmm. like, we can't just have an entire town dependent on this magical family.
Yeah.
Like, clearly, Louise's song says enough. There's too much.
Yeah.
There's way too much for just one family. Again, I could listen to that song 1,000 times. It's the best fucking part of the movie. It's such, like, a tiny bit of a bummer to talk about these movies and, like, having only so many notes to be able to write. Like, I can't just write everything. So, like, there were lines, expressions on faces, you know, all sorts of things that, like, the whole time I was just, like, tickled by the whole time. Like, oh, my God. Like, I loved Bruno. I thought he was wonderful. I thought Mirabelle was hilarious. Her whole, like, singing about there being too many stairs up to Bruno's room was wonderful. Or the little toucan who hung out with her for a second there does that wonderful like turn head look at her about whatever. Like that stuff was wonderful. Like it, classic sort of Disney movie stuff, you know, like silly little animal sidekick. And
yeah, like her shouting quitter at him when he flies away.
Yeah, exactly.
That's iconic Disney.
I did think it was crazy though, like watching this on Disney Plus. I don't know what it would have said. Actually, I'm gonna real quick look at IMDb and see how they say it.
How long?
Yeah. Okay. They say an hour 42. Okay. Makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
On fucking Disney Plus, you look at it and it's like an hour 53.
Yeah.
For an animated movie, that is fucking unheard of.
Yeah.
Like that is way too much. Like, what are you doing?
Even for Disney.
Yeah. I was like, okay, like I'm going to watch it. I won't bitch about it. But at the same time, I was like, man, that's long.
Yeah.
Let's see what's happening here. And then, you know, the house fucking falls apart towards the end. It dies. That's sad. You know, the candle goes out and then Mirabelle goes to the river. A boy that comes over gives her the whole story. I will say this real quick about that, about her telling the story again at the end, because she tells it at the beginning. Yeah. And the way that they show it, I was like, that was wimpy. You know, like in terms of like trying to tell a story about like grief and stuff, like for it to be like, oh, and then we were crossing a river and then some guys on horses came up and then Pedro goes out into the river and like holds his hand up and then he just like, you know, he just disappears and then they show Alma like crying or whatever. And it's like, okay, obviously I get what happened here.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some more learned children might know what happened here. But it's also like, that's it. That's how you show like being murdered.
Yeah.
Essentially, you know, like being caught and murdered is just like, oh, and then he kind of whooshes away. So I was glad that when she's telling it again at the end, he like makes his stand and then the guys on the horses roll up and pull the sword and like aim it at him. And then Alma's reaction is like way bigger.
Yeah.
At the end of like screaming, crying and dropping to her knees instead of just like, no. So I was like, oh, cool. They're not fully like, oh, yeah, bad things happened. You know, just general trauma and tragedy, whatever.
They learned from Up. You can't trauma dump right at the beginning.
Yeah, you got to give us some time. So I enjoyed that little bit. But then, like, they reconcile, you know, like, essentially what takes the house down is when Mirabelle is like, fucking, this is all your fault, Alma.
Yeah.
Like, you want too much from too many people. Everything has to be perfect. You're the one destroying the magic. And then the house basically explodes. And it's like, oh, no, Mirabelle, what have you done? That seems like it kind of was on you now. But she was right to blow up on her.
Yes.
But so they have their talk by the river and everything. And then they like come back to the house and everyone's there. And they're like, hey, look, we're all here. We're all OK. Everything's cool. And I was like, how are there 30 fucking minutes left in this movie? You know, I was like looking at the timer on the thing and I'm like, how is it even remotely possible that there are 30 minutes left of this movie? Like, unless literally they're like, oh, yeah, and we're going to build the house again. Oh, no, a jaguar took Antonio. And like, they got to go save him from a jaguar or something. That was actually what I wrote when they first did his thing where it was like, now he's an animal guy. And it shows the jaguar coming at him. And I was like, and eaten by a jaguar.
Yeah.
Just immediately. It's like, look, just because you're like buddies with them and they can hear you and you can talk to them doesn't mean that it won't also eat you, possibly. It is a jaguar. So like 30 fucking minutes are left. What are you talking about, movie? And then like they do the thing. They're like, oh, we rebuilt the house. Here's a new doorknob. Mirabelle, you're going to be the one to put it in. You're like the heart of this family now.
They made her little like custom M doorknob that everyone gets.
Put it in the door. Magic comes back. Everything's cool. And at this point, I'm like, okay, this is completely absurd that there are like 25 minutes left of this movie and they've literally everything is done. What is happening? And then isn't the end of the movie a like freeze frame, everyone's taking a picture together?
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is so definitively the ending of a movie. What are we doing here? And then it's like goes to the credits and I'm like, oh my God. And I scroll to the end and it's just every alternate language credit in the movie. So, you know, they do it all in English, and then they do it all in Spanish, and then they do it all in German, and then they do it all in Chinese, and then they do it, like, there's like literally like seven different full-length credit sequences, essentially, for all these different languages. And I was like, oh, that's why it's so fucking long. Yeah. Oh my God. That makes a little bit more sense. Because, like, God damn, dude, that's long.
Yeah. My only gripe with the movie is that they never confirmed whether or not Maribel actually finally gets her own fucking room.
Yeah, right? That would have been nice. Like, you're rebuilding Casita.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be identical.
Yeah.
You can make another room. I mean, that's the thing, though, is that it's like, if it's not given with the magic, then, like, is it just a room? Like, everyone else gets, like, a big, giant magical realm. But, you know, it's like, you just get a regular room. Like, well, that sucks. Even if, it, you know, people are just being nice and being like, look, we made your own room so that it's like everyone else's. Except, you know, we can't turn it into a giant, physically impossible magical realm. So, like, it's kind of just a room.
Yeah.
Our bad. I don't know. Like, there's there's really no way. I guess that's the lesson of the movie, is that there's no way to repay that sort of tragic upbringing. Is like, well, I lost my chance to get the magic, and no matter what you do later in life, that doesn't give me the magic at 5 years old like everyone else.
Yeah,
but they seem more jazzed about it than, you know, than me.
Really, all I want from Maribel is for her to not have to share a room with, like, future magical children.
Yeah, just sitting there watching as they all grow up to get their miracles.
Uh-huh.
Like, God damn it, man. And since, again, we don't know when it takes place, it's not like she's like, well, I'm gonna go off to school or college or travel abroad or something. Like,
well, move to the States.
Yeah, right? Like, what are you gonna do? I don't know. Overall, really, really dug it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's so much of it that, like, it's not necessarily like big, huge, specific lines that are so, so funny that I repeat them forever, but more so that, like, the whole time it feels like the people involved in making this movie were like, this just got to be fun, man.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's just got to have fun. Like, everyone's a little bit silly. Everyone gets a little bit of, you know, obviously maybe other than the grandmother, but most everyone is silly. But, like, I don't know. It works for me. I wound up really digging it.
Still hasn't knocked Moana off the top spot.
No.
But it definitely is up there in terms of, you know, top Disney Pixar movies. And
it's not Pixar, though. It's just
oh,
Disney.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just like Moana. Moana isn't Pixar
either.
They're just really good Disney movies.
That makes me think that they're also Pixar, because those are usually the better ones.
It's got to be. That's how this has to go, right? Something funny, though, like, talking about how this movie doesn't really have any kind of, like, bad guy or villain to it. It's kind of interesting, the trajectory from, like, in old Disney movies, you know, there's, like, very specifically bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
They very specifically die.
Yeah.
They, you know, like, that's a big thing. And then you get up to nowadays, and, like, Moana eventually has a, like, bad guy, but then is revealed as, like, oh, but it's a good guy that is, you know, acting bad, and they fix and make her feel better and make everything right again. And it's like, oh, that's nice. So it's not like, oh, yeah, there's a big giant monster. Let's fucking cut its head off or something. You know, it's like, no, let's make this problem better.
Yeah, it's like, no, I know who you really are. This isn't you,
yeah.
Exactly. You're really defeaty.
But so, like, and then in this one, it's like even a step down from that, where it's like, there's really not even a bad guy.
No.
It's just like, hey, man, it's life, man.
Normal family dynamics.
Yeah.
You're never going to be good enough for your grandmother. Welcome to the club, Maribel. I know the feeling.
Oh, man. But it was a decently fun month. Definitely some movies that I probably wouldn't have watched otherwise, which, like,
for sure.
Yeah. Which is, like, obviously on the bad side of, like, yeah, I don't think I ever needed to see Yours, Mine, and Ours. Oh. Like, like, I Cheaper by the Dozen is like, hey, look, it's fucking Steve Martin and Bonnie Hunt. Like, let's do that. Yeah. But Randy Quaid, not Randy Quaid. Oh, my God. I wish it was Randy Quaid. Dennis Quaid and Rene Russo is like, eh, that doesn't help enough. That's not a good movie. I don't want to watch that movie. And then, you know, I already saw My Big Fat Greek Wedding back in the day. But it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. That was a fun movie, too.
Yeah.
But then this one, this was definitely the one of like, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. End on a high note.
Yes, a very high note. But I think that's going to wrap it up for Popcorn for Dinner for this week and month. This is Jeff.
And Callie.
What? We can't talk about how we don't have a house? What? What's that? Not a house.